Hey guys, welcome back to the Sunny Afternoon Podcast. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Jelana.
Sorry.
Hello, Jelana.
Wow. You just like feel really awkward introducing yourself. I don't know. That's how I feel every time we do this. So for some
reason. Hi. Hello. Okay, well.
Let's continue. Yeah.
So thanks so much for tuning back in. This is going to be part two of our conversation from The Myth of the One.
Yes.
We're going to be just kind of going through some other topics that we had in mind and kind of giving an update on some things that have changed since the last episode. So we'll get into that. But let's get into our segment, Love and Let Go. I'll start this time.
Okay.
So what I am loving lately, which is not anything new, but I feel like for the past 2 or 3 weeks, it's just been good. It's been working out. I don't know what it is. I think I just came to the realization that it's literally just the one time of the day where I can just like be with myself and just like think and just sweat. It's just been very good for me mentally. So I feel like I've just really been enjoying working out. And one thing that I am letting go, and this is something I've been working on for maybe like a year or 2 years, but I feel like I've been working on it more so the past couple months maybe. And that's like not keeping to a system. Let me explain. And that can sound like huge, but like, I mean, even on like smaller scales, I give an example. Like today, I was carrying my purse and I was carrying my Bible and my journal and I had a sweater on. My purse slipped off my shoulder and it caught onto my Bible, but I wanted to put my Bible down. But my first thought was, but you have to take off your purse first, because that's what I do first when I come home. I take off my purse first.
Interesting.
So instead of just being like, but no, my purse has to come off first, it's like, no, put the Bible down, then your purse can fall off more easily. It's like small things like that. It sounds silly, I know.
Not silly.
But for me, it is like it's a thing that I really have to be cautious of. Like, I was making breakfast last night in preparation for today. I was making a smoothie. But I was actually making it for lunch. But I was like, there are no eggs tomorrow, so I can't have breakfast. I was like, well, what should I eat? And it's like, duh, just have a smoothie for breakfast and make something else for lunch because I have tuna fish. Mm-hmm. It's things like that. It's like just being able to, it's like bend and flexible and just accommodate. And just trying to get better at it and like on a smaller scale.
Yeah. I guess that's how it starts, like practicing those little moments. It's just interesting because it just mentally I'm so different. I can't relate at all. I can understand. I can sympathize.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So I am loving getting back into hand lettering and art and stuff. It's interesting because it's something that I used to do all the time. Well, something that I've always done. Like even before hand lettering, I think was a thing. My mom is probably the craftiest lady that I know. Mm-hmm. And so I always grew up like coloring or I had zero patience for coloring books, but like blank paper and coloring on it, you know, like that was more my jam, drawing pictures and writing. I always practiced my handwriting. Mm-hmm. Like I was that kid in school supposed to be doing something else, but I was writing my letters over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't know. And people ask, like, how'd you get so good at handwriting? I'm like, I literally just practiced. Like, just did it a bunch. Would write my name 67 times. Like, I don't know why. But it's something that I kind of put down, I think unintentionally, just wasn't really into it. And I'm one of those people who I will do 7 things and not be good at anything. Or, you know, like, not be really good at anything, just kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
So I think for a while, especially when calligraphy got big again, it's like, well, I can't do that, so I just stopped doing anything altogether. But I'm getting back into it. I'm loving it. It's like a really good creative outlet for me that's not vocal related. Although I still love to sing. It's not going anywhere, but
yeah,
it's just, it's been neat. And it's helping me, I think, be creative in those other areas too.
Yeah.
Just engaging my mind in a different way. So, loving it. And I am letting...
Oh, wait, I thought you were talking about the Instagram.
Oh. This wasn't a plug. Oh, this is kind of a plug. Setting myself up.
Jump shot.
Right. Well, I wasn't going to plug it, but here we are.
Not jump shot. Layup.
Alley-oop. Layup.
Why am I trying to use basketball? Like, I play and I don't know anything.
I got cut. I never played. Watched a lot of basketball. Anyway.
Played basketball as a kid. Utah Jazz, what's up?
So anyway, I started a different Instagram because, I don't know, I just needed, I think, a separate space to explore, because Instagram and social media in general is weird. I feel like people follow you because you post something specific, and and not that I necessarily care, but my Jelana Jones handle had become like a space for music. So I kind of want to leave it as that and not feel bad about posting a bunch of pictures of my handwriting in a row. So I started a whole other Instagram for it called The Worthy Sunflower.
Yeah.
And if you want to follow it, it's just literally at The Worthy Sunflower. Mm-hmm. And actually, Jen was pretty instrumental in helping me settle on the name. I was thinking about, well, I just love sunflowers, really. That's kind of how my thought process went. I was like, I like flowers. but then Jennifer looked up sunflowers, like root systems, and how they have deep roots. Mm-hmm. For why do they have deep roots? Because they're drought resistant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it? Yeah. They need a lot of water because they bloom in the summer when it's hot, and then their blooms orient themselves towards the sun on purpose, hence the name sunflower. So just that picture of being deeply rooted and fixed towards the S-O-N, sun. I think it really solidified the name and the purpose behind it. I wanted a space to like talk a lot more about what I was reading in the Bible and just what it means to be a follower of Christ and to be a child of God, a woman of God. So that's my plug. And I'm letting go of just had it. Okay, so I am letting go of the snooze button. I'm really bad at waking up. And it's not even on purpose. I have the desire to. Mm-hmm. I'll set the... That's why I set an alarm. If I didn't want to get up, who tortures himself like that? So... I set multiple alarms because I know, for whatever reason, when I'm in REM, I don't hear anything. I hear nothing. Yeah. And so I don't hear my alarm. And I make sure it's turned up. Anyway, just a rant. But so I'm really trying to get into the discipline of like getting up when I hear it, because I think the reason why I don't hear it anymore is because I snooze.
Yeah.
Because even if I do hear it, I turn it off. So I've gotten to the point where I'll turn it off in my sleep.
Yeah.
Skills not helpful. So I'll wake up like 30-40 minutes after my alarm and be like, wait, what happened? It didn't go off. And it, like, surely it did. I just hit that snooze button, which has gotten so much easier with the phone. I remember back in the day, I don't know. So that's what I'm letting go of, the snooze button.
Yeah, support it.
And I'm plugging my phone across the room, finally. So many people have, like, suggested that. I tried it last night. It kind of worked. I still hit the snooze button. But at least I was more awake when I did it.
Baby steps.
And I snoozed for, like, 10 minutes versus, like, 45 minutes.
That's so great, actually.
Yeah. Shall we?
We shall.
The one! So we kind of ended off talking about an umbrella over this whole concept would be that we think the Lord should be involved in our decision-making process when it comes to picking a spouse. I think the debate, for lack of a better word, comes to, like, how involved and, like, what does freedom look like with sovereignty? And like, mm-hmm. and because it's a big decision, a lot of people say next to getting saved, who you get married to is the second biggest decision you'll make in your life. So it definitely feels important. How do you feel after hearing the first episode back?
I actually, it's always funny because when we make these episodes and we're sharing information, I always want to feel like we landed the plane. And it feels uncomfortable sometimes to not land a plane, but I felt comfortable with the last week's episode of not landing the plane, of landing on I don't know. And I guess for me, that in some ways that is landing the plane, just because like I rested on something. So like I literally still feel like I don't know, like how it all works, or like just like is there one for one, you know, everything. So I still just feel very up in the air. But we had a lot of comments, and a lot of people who we reached out to just to kind of get their opinion, because it is kind of a interesting topic, and it's not, I guess it's not something that I thought even people would have a response about, or like, you know, be interested in talking about, but it was kind of polarizing, like to ask questions and like, oh, that's how you think. So it was just very interesting.
People have strong opinions about
this.
Cause it does, it plays into like freedom of choice and free will, which is the same thing. And, like, the Lord's sovereignty. And, and so it's bigger than just, like, oh, who should I marry? I think that's why people get so...
like, heated. Adamant. It's like, pick a side!
No!
So I'll start off. I reached out to some people, and one person specifically said that the one you ultimately end up with is the one. And I thought that was interesting because I think it's hard because on one hand, it's like, yes, the one you ultimately end up with was indeed the one, because now you guys are in a relationship. So apparently this person was the one. However, unless this was indeed not the one.
Right.
Like, because I feel like you can choose wrong.
You can.
Like, especially if the Lord is calling you to something greater and you choose something that wasn't meant for you.
Right.
So like in that way you can choose wrong. But the reason why I find it hard is because I know the Lord can work through anything. So maybe this was the one to show you a lesson, to bring you closer to Jesus, to, you know, to experience God's grace. I mean, there's so many different things, so I can agree with that, but then I also just have a hard time with it. And someone else kind of said the same thing. It was just like, the one you choose becomes a one for you. It's a choice. So it's hard.
Yes, because, okay, I'll read a response that's similar in a second, because I agree. I think to an extent it's a retrospective thing. Be like, oh, this person was the one. It's not like everybody gets a word from God showing them a picture of somebody and like, this is the one for you, and now you just have to find them. Obviously, that doesn't work that way. For most people, you hear about the one-off instances where people do feel that they see their spouse, and who am I to say that they didn't hear from the Lord? They did. You know, we can debate that in another episode if you want. Felt in their spirit that the Lord was saying that's the person you're supposed to marry, and then it ended up happening. So anyway, but on the other hand, you know, I think the Bible does speak clearly about not being unequally yoked. So I would want to say, like, if somebody marries a non-Christian, was that God's best for you? I don't think so.
Right.
Because it says in 2 Corinthians 6, 14, you know, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? So obviously, like, Paul was speaking to this because it was happening. So, you know, and he was trying to direct them to, like, a better way and the Lord's best for them. But if somebody does make that choice, it's still not advised to get a divorce.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, you might not have made the best choice, but now that person is the one.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can't divorce them. You have to wait for them to leave you.
Yeah.
You know? So the choice is important.
Yeah.
Because once you get married, I think the Lord clearly holds that relationship. It's a covenant relationship. So it's different at that point. Then, mm-hmm. yes, for lack of a better word, you're stuck, you know. And the Lord can redeem that situation and make it beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not like doom and gloom. But at the same time, like, that the choice matters.
Yeah.
I think it has to matter.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. What's funny, like, as soon as we started talking about this, I saw this post from Johnny Swim, which is a band that I'm really into. And it's a husband and wife duo. And the husband was, like, saying happy birthday to the wife. Mm-hmm. And he said, when I was younger, I was convinced there was no such thing as the one. And I was like, we're talking about it. Because if there was only one person meant for everyone, then surely somebody picked the wrong one and messed the whole equation up for the rest of the world. Then he was like, I was a pain to argue with. I thought I was so smart. All my equations and joyous triumphs in fake philosophic street fight style arguing were annihilated the day I saw you, Amanda Grace. The world is blessed to have an air filtered through. Then he's, you know, love notes to his wife. It's not important. So the point being, like, I think that's how a lot of people think. And I want to communicate that that's not necessarily what we think. Like, that there is not, when I say the one, I don't necessarily mean, like, there's only one person that you have to marry, that you can marry, and if you marry the wrong one, then you mess it up for everyone else. Like, I don't think it works like that either.
Yeah.
I just think the choice is important.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the Instagram comments that we got.
Yeah.
Okay, so we asked, do you guys believe in the one, you know, like the mystical singular person created just for you that you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with? And you guys said, our friend Kristen from season one said, I think you can make anything, quote unquote, work, but there is one who is your counterpart in every way. A great marriage takes work, though, no matter what. Just more fun when you really, really love the other person a lot. What do you think? It sounds like the one.
Like, yeah, it sounds like she's saying that there is the one. And I feel like it's interesting because the people who I asked, majority of them were in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's easy to say that there's the one mm-hmm. when you're in a relationship. Because right. if you believe that there is not one person for you, then what are you doing in your relationship? Or, like, did you, I don't know. Like, I guess because when you're in a relationship and you see how well you all complement each other, you couldn't imagine that with anyone else. So I was like, well, this is the person for me, obviously.
Right.
So I don't know.
Right.
I agree, and I can agree with what she's saying. I mean, I don't think anything that she's saying is incorrect necessarily.
Right. I just don't know, like, that idea that there's not going to be any friction points, you know? And I don't know if that's what she was trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't think it is, but, like, I feel like that could communicate, oh, he's my counterpart in every way. Like, he's, like, answers all of these deficiencies that I have. Like, mm-hmm. he picked, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's true. So the thing maybe is, that could be multiple people, though.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, because, like, when I hear counterpart, my first thought wasn't even thinking about someone who kind of satisfies your deficiencies. I was thinking about, like, a road trip, but, mm-hmm. like, I'll take care of the music, you take care of the snacks. Mm. Just thinking about mm-hmm. just how you work well together.
Like, yeah.
So, but not to say that it's not about deficiencies, it could be, which you're referring to, but I think it's both, obviously. Yeah,
that's a good point.
I don't know.
Someone else said, I don't believe in there being one single person. I think we could all be compatible with many different people, but the one we cross paths with and fall in love with is whoever it is. I think our own decisions, good and bad, lead us to whoever it is we end up with. Sometimes the Lord is in it, and sometimes we don't let him be. And by his grace, he will work it together for the good if we let him. So, yeah, I don't believe in a single one person. Sometimes the Lord is in it, and sometimes we don't let him be. And by his grace, he will work it together for the good if we let him. I feel like that is the key.
Yeah.
That, like, kind of sums up what I think.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to be a part of it, and sometimes we don't let him be. And he can still work that out for yeah. our good if we let him.
Yeah.
So, you can marry, quote-unquote, the wrong person, and it'd be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not God's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still, because he's good enough, there's still, like, grace and redemption, but you have to be willing. A lot of people just get divorced, I feel like.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. What is the search supposed to look like, then? And we kind of talked about this on the first part, but mm-hmm. there's an element of choice. We do have free will as believers, but at the same time, as Christ followers, like, we are called to walk by the Spirit. We're called to walk with the Lord. We're called to imitate Christ. So it feels like we have the freedom in the sense, like, no, you're not going to go to hell.
Right.
But to be in God's will and to see his best for us, there is something that we need to be doing. Right. You know, we need to be actively following the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think that includes who we choose.
Yeah.
To be in a marriage relationship with.
Yeah.
We can't just say, oh, I can pick whoever I want. Right. Fix it, Jesus.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like I'm thinking about the Israelites. Mm-hmm. Like, they journeyed around for so long, and mm-hmm. they got themselves into a lot of trouble, but each time the Lord helped them when they cried out to him.
Right.
So even if you're looking to do right by the Lord and you mess up, there is still a way for him to respond. So, like, mm-hmm. even in a relationship, if you do wrong, God can still help you and respond. However, there's still consequences. Right. So, like, you know, maybe you won't have, like, the easiest relationship.
Yeah.
That's a consequence. Like, right. you didn't consult him, so now you have to live with that. For life. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't think we have freedom to choose, yes, but be careful. Like, pay attention.
I legit don't trust myself to choose. I don't, you yeah. know? Like, I... freedom of choice, that doesn't, for me, mean, well, now I can... I am just... I don't know. I can just close my eyes and point.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a good idea at all. But at the same time, I don't think we should be paranoid mm-hmm. about choosing wrong. Like, oh, no, what if I mess up my life? Like, yeah. I don't... that's not what the Lord is calling us to either. So I think there is peace. And that's when walking sensitive comes into play. Because if you're reading your word, if you're seeking wise counsel, if you're praying, seeking the Lord, and you feel a peace about the direction that you're going in, you have to trust that you're in his will because you're yeah. following him. Like, you're obeying him. Yeah. You're doing what the word says. You're not living in sin. But I think a lot of us don't even know how to listen to that sometimes yeah. anymore. So, we just get scared and paranoid.
Yeah. This is Psalm 145:17-20. It says, "The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him." That's key to me. He's close to those who actually call on him. Mm-hmm. So, if you're looking to seek him and you're calling on him, he's there. So, we don't even have to, like you were saying, we don't have to be paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all who call on him sincerely. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and he rescues them. So the Lord protects all those who love him, which also to me is important because, like you said, we don't have to be paranoid because if he's going to protect us, then
yeah,
there's no way for us to make a misstep. But if we do,
right.
he's there to hear our cries
right.
and rescue us.
Right.
But that's if you're walking sensitive to him. Mm-hmm. You right. can't just be living your life and being right. like, oh, Lord, help me. He's like,
right.
yeah, I'll come to you, but there's going to be a consequence. But it's just a matter of walking sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Right. And then you yeah. can filter out the guys that are not going to be a good fit.
Right.
You know, and not let your emotions be involved. And
right.
if you're seeking wise counsel too, yeah. that's key, and you can't be afraid to ask people right. what they think.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you're afraid to ask the Lord for some, you know, foremost, like, what I should do in this relationship, And if you're afraid to ask people that you trust,
then you are already two steps back.
Right. Like, if you're
already
like,
walking backward.
And not, you know, speaking in, like, in a condemning tone at all. I hope that this doesn't come across as I've been there, you know? It's like, you know something's wrong if you're like, okay, if I talk to this person, they're going to tell me something I don't want to hear. Yeah. That means you need to hear what you don't want to hear.
Yeah. Straight up.
And you need to listen to it. And if you ignore that, then you might be in danger of not being in the Lord's will.
Right.
100%. Messy. Some more responses. Do you have more responses?
Yeah, I had another response from someone. They said you can have, and this kind of ties in, I think, with another Instagram comment. I think Kristen's. Mm-hmm. You can have multiple soulmates, and but you don't have to be in relationship with all of them or with them.
Can't.
Right. Which that was interesting. I think that I feel like that comment can open up a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah.
that we're not gonna get into. Yeah. But because I guess. Which is interesting because, I mean, I left the question open for them to interpret. So maybe they're talking about soulmates, like, you know, friends, like.
Okay. I'm like, what is soulmate? What does that even mean?
Yeah. And I guess if you're looking at it like that, then, like, because I feel like a counterpart is a counterpart, whether it's romantic or not. Right. But, I mean, for the purposes of this episode, it is romantic. That's what we're talking about. But I think friends can a friend be a soulmate?
I don't know what that means. I know what it means, but like in that context, can your friend be a soulmate? I've heard people say that, but that's the thing with these like cliche type things. Yeah, like, people really know what those words mean.
Yeah, I guess you have to define what soulmate means. There's such a mushy, squishy term.
Yeah,
I feel like it's hard to put legs on it. So I don't know.
Okay, the last comment I got was from my friend Lauren, which I thought was really interesting. I asked her. 1, do you believe in the one? And 2, do you think God has intentions on who you should marry? Or do you think we can just pick any Christian guy and make it work? And she said, 1, I believe that the person you marry or date seriously and are able to have a healthy relationship with is the one. I think the one should be more of a retrospective label after having been with someone. In other words, someone being the one is revealed over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to pause there because I think I agree for sure. Like, the person that you are able to have a healthy relationship with is the one. Kind of ties into what we were talking about, like, walking sensitive and being in wise counsel, because I think all of that will play into whether or not you're able to have a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. Because if I am spiritually at one level and this person is not on the same, like, wavelength with me, mm-hmm. with the Lord, then how healthy could our relationship be? And growing. Yeah. And it could be how you define healthy is like, are we able to get along? Or are we actively pursuing Jesus together? Yeah. Or do we feel paired up to like impact the kingdom? You know, like what is healthy? But
yeah.
So I would agree with that. Like, it's not necessarily mystical and magical for everyone. Maybe it is for some people, like we said, but key would be to deciding if that person is the one is like, if you feel like peace about it, and if you feel like the Lord is pairing you with that person. And then she said, 2, I do believe that God divinely weaves some people together, but I don't think that's the case for everyone. I would say the majority of people who are married made their own choice to be with the person they are with. I think that who we marry is 100% our own choice, and God, like a father, can help us discern if we are making a wise choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I would caution people not to just go with their gut and call it God. I think the person you marry should actually be somewhat of a communal decision with people close to you.
Yeah.
Which is what we were saying as well.
Yeah. And, like, I think we both agree with that last part about it being a kind of a communal decision. But I know I do have issues with that middle part.
God divinely weaves some people together.
Yeah, some people. Like, I believe, I feel like the Lord is in everything, but I guess if you're not following him, then... Is that what she means? Like, if you're not following him?
I think what she means, and I'll have to ask her to be sure, but I took it to mean, like, what we were talking about before. Like, some people feel like they hear an audible voice or whatever, you know? Like, they feel like they have some type of spiritual encounter with the Lord, and he's saying, like, this is a person you should marry. And some people just meet, you know, fall in love, date, then fall in love, and then get married. And so you could say that the Lord was divinely weaving them together because, you know, like, we've sat down and thought about how we became friends and all the different things that had to happen for us to meet, and seeing the Lord moving in our own lives separately to get us to this point, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the Lord is in that too. But what I take it to mean is her saying, like, you know, some people have those, like, moments where they feel like the Lord spoke something to them specifically about that person rather than it just kind of happening.
Yeah.
With that, you know, like, the Lord was doing it, but they weren't, yeah. like, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I don't know. I have one more comment.
Yeah.
I guess we can wrap up with this one. This is from my coworker, Chelsea. I asked her, could I say her name? And she said, yeah, you can say my name.
Hi, Chelsea.
So basically what I asked her, do you believe there is one person for someone else? Or do you believe there are multiple people someone could end up marrying and be content and happy with? So she, just backstory, Chelsea, she's married. Her husband's name is Brian. So
hi, Brian.
Hey, Brian. So she says, so before I met Brian, I definitely did not believe in soulmates. I thought you could literally be compatible with anyone if you tried enough, mm-hmm. and there are hundreds of people you could settle and be content with. But that changed when I met Brian. I really feel like I found my other half in a safe harbor. He has so many traits I didn't even realize I needed until I had him.
Mm-hmm.
We have differences, of course, doesn't everyone, but I think what makes it feel magical was all the things that had to happen that led us to meeting and becoming more... We have differences, of course, doesn't everyone, but I think what makes it feel magical was all the things that had to happen to lead us to meeting and becoming friends, and then more than just friends. There were so many junctions in life that we could have easily gone the other way, mm-hmm. so many chances where we could not have met, and therefore want to be as happy as we are today. Now, even with all this flowery talk, I'm not saying everything is always peachy with your soulmate. We have arguments. After all, we're humans. We have many flaws. But it's like, in my soul, I know I'll always have him, and he will always have me. And so on. So I'm going to skip down to the bottom. So she came to the realization that she didn't want to live life without him. Anyway, so to the bottom it says, but the love I feel for him, and he says the same, just seems to go so much deeper than my past relationships. So, I thought that was kind of sweet, first of all.
Yeah.
Like, aw. But I think that ties into what your friend was saying. Like, mm-hmm. it's a retrospective thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
it changed when she met him.
Right.
So, it was like, okay. So, like, in hindsight, it's like, yeah, this guy is the one. At the mm-hmm. time, you didn't realize it. But now that we are together doing live,
mm-hmm.
clearly this guy is the one
right.
for me.
Right.
And I think that's fair to say. Like, I think about, like, at a buffet,
mm-hmm.
you get a meal and you sit down with it. You don't think, oh man, I really should have gotten pizza. This chicken
sometimes.
Is just not. Yeah. But like, you're full.
In that example.
Yeah. You're full, you're content, you're satisfied, but you're not sitting there thinking like, those meatballs would have, you know,
really
would,
done it.
Yeah, but it's like, aren't you full now? So,
right, yeah.
I feel like it's always like a retrospective thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Wow. So, thank you all for
participating.
Yeah, participating and giving us your feedback. This is a good conversation, I feel like.
Oh, man.
So many things.
I was like, I still don't feel like it's over, but
yeah.
it's going to have to be for right now.
That's the point.
We'll circle back once we're both married and let you know. Update.
Oh, man. But thank you guys so much for listening. We sincerely appreciate it. Always follow us on our social media. You can find us on Instagram at Sunny Afternoon Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. You can just search the Sunny Afternoon Podcast. Follow us on our personal socials. Those will be listed in the show notes. But thank you all so much for listening. And
we will see you next Sunday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.